Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mary Sandberg, Dave Bennett, Steve Grzanich, and Mary Vandeville are here. Steve Cochran back tomorrow. In studio with us, Erica Harold. She's running for Attorney General. She's a Republican. I believe that you announced on this program that you were going to be running for this back last summer. Was it last summer?
I think it was August 14th.
August 14th.
I think it was August 14th.
It could have been 15th.
I mean, we were just talking off air before we start. That's amazing to think about. And as we get close to the end of this race, regardless win or loss, I mean, there has to be some attachment to the pace and the vigor that it takes to run for public office.
Absolutely. While it's certainly a difficult endeavor, running for office is one of the most gratifying experiences because you are all over the state meeting people that you would otherwise not be able to cross paths with, and you're sharing a vision for what you'd like to do for the state. And along the way, you meet people who share that vision, and you almost create a movement of people who want to see reform, and it's inspiring.
What's the worst part about it?
I think the worst part is just some of the negativity. I think we've become a very divided country and a very divided state. And in many respects, we've lost the ability to disagree in an agreeable way.
Right. And not just with the other candidate, the Democratic candidate, but I would assume people who are on the campaign trail or people who might ask you questions or comments that you see online, things of that nature, are as divisive as even the politics that we see in our attack ads.
Oh, so true. Because sometimes people will want to criticize you, say that you're hateful or something, but the way they express themselves, they use words that I could never say on this show. And they see no hypocrisy or no problem in doing that. And one of the challenges you have when you're running for office is oftentimes people are trying to sort of troll you, but you can't become so desensitized that you're not able to differentiate between somebody who's trying to get a gotcha moment and somebody who sincerely wants to know your thoughts or your heart on an issue.
Right, right.
Have you had any encounters with people while you're out there that are negative to begin with, but then once they've dealt with you or spoken with you or exchanged, had some interaction, they come around to not necessarily being so angry, or it turns out they didn't have the issue with you. Their issue is they're more angry politically in general. That isn't that you're the target because you're in front of them, but aren't really the actual issue.
Absolutely. One of the things I've found is that as divided as our country is and as our state can be, a lot of people feel very disenfranchised from the political process. So oftentimes when they see a candidate, you are somebody or one of the only people that they feel they can actually unleash how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found in those situations, it's best to listen, to not be defensive, to not try to solve their problem, but to actually give them the ability to be heard. And you may say to them, you said 10 things, I disagree with you on 9, but let's talk about that 10th thing, because I think that's where we can find a way forward.
Erica Harold's our guest. She is the Republican running for Attorney General in the state of Illinois. All right, let's get to some of the issues on the campaign. You just got an influx of cash from Ken Griffin, $1.5 million to the campaign late in the season here. What that does is it gives you an opportunity. The money becomes no issue for you as you have outraged your opponent.
Money's always an issue for every candidate.
Sure. But what does that money do in the last 2 weeks? What is the message that you're going to run on with that money?
The message that I'll be running on with that money is taking politics out of the office, being an independent, reform-minded attorney general, and being able to hold both parties accountable and providing that check and balance within state government. That's a message that's resonated throughout the state. People want someone who's willing to acknowledge that both parties have played a role in leading us where we are, and they want somebody who's willing to be a check on government.
Do you, as up to this point, and I think about the issues that are raised, and we'll talk about them here, whether it be what the Attorney General's office can do, the protections that can, for the people of Illinois, that's sort of essentially the top lawyer in the city of or the state of Illinois. Do you feel like you're getting your message across, or are you constantly in a battle for correcting the attack ads of your opponent?
I think at the very beginning of the ad season, a lot of time was spent correcting the ads of my opponent. But there was actually an independent fact checker who did a fact check of his ad and found it to be completely false and found it to be without substantiation. And being able to point to an independent source that says that ad has no basis in fact has been able to be helpful. Also, the more that we've been out doing interviews and talking about these issues, the more people realize it's not plausible. I would never want to use the Office of Attorney General to discriminate against anyone. As somebody who's faced discrimination myself, the last thing I would want to do is to undermine anyone's rights.
You have talked about an office without politics, yet on the one side, you're going to have a Democrat-run state house. Regardless of how the election plays out, it'll still be a Democrat majority. On the other side, the federal government, you have a Republican run. It could change in the midterms, but you have a Republican run. There will be forces on both sides, federal and local, that will put politics first. So how is it possible to run an attorney general's office without politics?
You have to have very clear guidelines for how you make decisions. And you have to be willing to call things as you see them. And that means that you're not going to necessarily be thinking what's good for Republicans or what's good for Democrats. If the federal government exceeds the scope of its constitutional authority, you file a lawsuit against them. The question isn't whether you agree with the policy choice made. It's whether the constitutional balance that is instituted has actually been encroached upon. And you do the same with respect to state government as well. It's an independent office where your job is not necessarily to be picking sides among members of government. It's making sure that you are shepherding that office and stewarding it properly.
Well, and just because you've decided to run it without politics, you're not ignorant to the fact that everybody else is going to try to bring politics into it. So you're ready, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think a big choice that voters will have is determining what sort of attorney general do they want to have. There are certain attorneys general throughout the country who do view the role in a more political way, but I think that the people of our state in particular are best served by someone who's willing to hold both parties accountable. Fighting public corruption is a priority because we've seen for far too long both parties use their judicial and official authority in ways that have been politicized. And that's when corruption starts to creep into government. It's when people separate themselves from the rule of law and start putting their own personal interests and political interests there.
But the only thing that I think voters would caution on that is that we all are aware of where funding. We just mentioned Ken Griffin, who's a big funder for Republican politics. Bruce Rauner, of course, the incumbent who's running in this campaign, is also someone who has been a big supporter of yours. So you can sit here in this studio and say that regardless of the money that's pumped in from your party, that if your party's leadership do things that may be not in the best interest of the people of Illinois, you'll be there to protect us.
Absolutely, because the reality is everyone who's running for a statewide office at this point in time is going to receive financial funding from their party. So my opponent, he certainly received funding, a significant amount from J.B. Pritzker. And both of us will receive funding from our respective parties. If you're at this point in the game and you don't have the support of your party, you're probably doing something wrong. But it's about setting forth independent frameworks for how you make decisions. And that's why I talk in a process-oriented way sometimes to voters as to how I would decide whether to sue the government, how I would decide whether to pursue a case of public corruption.
All right, let's talk about two big issues before we run out of time. One, the consent decree in Chicago. We've talked about this before, you and
yes.
I, in the studio, or in the old studio. But the concept right now is you have a Department of Justice that does not want the consent decree. You have a mayor of Chicago and a police superintendent that does. As an attorney general and the current attorney general does want the consent decree, how do you sort this thing out? And do you see yourself and your office involved in whether or not Chicago should see police reform?
I'm absolutely committed to pursuing the consent decree because the lawsuit was filed as the result of systemic issues of misconduct that were found and the need for transformation. And we're at a very pivotal point in Chicago history, and it would be a real mistake and travesty to lose that moment. So I'm absolutely committed to pursuing very vigorous compliance with the consent decree. There will be in place by the time I take office, a judge will likely have a decree in place. That's a court order. And so there's no discretion that anyone will have to undo that. But I will want to make sure that it's complied with in a very vigorous way.
The other big issue right now is climate change. We're seeing this report that came out of the Paris Accord. There seems to be more desire from voters, from citizens in this country and around the world, for our political leaders to take action. We have seen this become a political issue, one that seems to be defined by lobby and money as opposed to what's right for the planet. As the Attorney General, are you going to make sure that our environment is protected and be in a position where you can help advocate to push us into new territory to help save the planet or at least come to compliance so that the degrees don't go up like the report said?
I will absolutely be committed to making sure we're protecting the environment, air, water. One of the things that the Attorney General has the jurisdiction over is the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. If certain issues are not resolved at the agency level, they are often referred to the Attorney General for action. And it's important to make sure that everyone is complying with the law, because we all suffer if those laws are not complied with.
My final question for you, just politically, is that there has been a lot of talk about a blue wave. This idea that Democrats around the country are in a position to win in this 2018 because largely of what's happened in Washington. As a Republican candidate in the state of Illinois, which has gone blue in the last couple of years, what's the roadmap to victory?
One of the things that we have seen is that if there is, in fact, a blue wave, that actually makes people more likely to want there to be at least one Republican constitutional officer and someone who can be a check and a balance within government. And so regardless of how the wave pans out, I think I'm in a great position to be able to provide that check on state government.
Erica Harold is the Republican running for Attorney General in the state of Illinois. Erica, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck in November.
Thank you.